Hi folks, I trust you're well. Happy Thursday. Welcome to my daily update, otherwise known as the Graham Show. I've actually been just inundated today with people calling, emailing, social media things about what happened in Washington yesterday. And I want to just take a moment and give you my two cents or just address that anyway, rather than having to do that continually individually with people. But I think like many of you, I'm actually really saddened today. It's funny, I put out a social media post out that said I was really discouraged, and I think lots of people started responding as if I was saying I'm discouraged because I believe some prophecy and it didn't happen. But I'm never discouraged by what God does. I'm never discouraged by what a true word of the Lord is. I've actually been discouraged because I've seen Christians defending violence today, and that's a terrible thing. But so let me give you just put down here what I've tried to be doing with a few people by email or telephone or social media today, and I'm sure everybody has their thoughts on this, but it is actually important for leaders. And again, we're all leaders, you know. It's all just a question of how much influence, whether you're leading your family or, you know, a small group or a church or a group of churches, or it's only a question of degrees. But it is actually, I think, important that we say what we believe about some things publicly. I think at times we evil prospers when people simply go, well, if I say what I believe, somebody's going to get upset somewhere. And sometimes people just try to hunker down and do the, well, I just won't say anything answer, or I just want to get on with my business and love God. And but it is, I think it is right that we call things out when evil happens. So just real quick, here's some of the questions I've been having today. What do I think about what happened in Washington yesterday? Well, I think number one, it seems to me that 99% of the people who went there, the vast majority, were peaceful, fun-loving, American-loving, peaceful-loving, you know, people who went to Washington to legitimately protest and to voice their support for President Trump. And, you know, watching the news, it seems many of them weren't even aware of what was going on in the Capitol building. So, you know, it's really important that we don't just say, oh, somebody was there in Washington with a red hat, therefore you're a bad person. I have no doubt believing the vast majority of people were peaceful people and conducting themselves well in a way that we could recommend. You know, in the same way as during the summer of 2020, I think many people were outraged by things like the George Floyd videos and went and peacefully protested. I know police officers who went to some of the original kind of Black Lives Matter protests and said, you know, this is not who we are, that's not what we want. But that has nothing to do with the people who are violent and smashing and, you know, and getting involved in Antifa and all those kind of things in the Black Lives Matters. So what happened yesterday, I think lots of people went and were peaceful and respectful, and kudos to them. That's a good part of being in a civil society, and I respect that, and I would join one of those protests. You know, for those who began to storm the Capitol building and smash their way in, and I know, please don't send me any photos and say, well, there were Antifa people there. I have no doubt there were Antifa people there. But I know there were other people who weren't Antifa people. And if you doubt that, I can show you many, many videos of people who were inside. They say they're, you know, it's clearly they weren't only Antifa people there. And I think there's no excuse for that. And I think we should condemn violence. We should condemn those who say, I am so right that I'm going to smash my way in and threaten elected officials, even worse, threaten their staff, threaten the police officers there who were simply charged and paid for to keep good order and to smash and destroy. And that's not the country I want to live in. That's not a, you know, that's not America. Those aren't the values that we withhold. And let me say that as a Christian leader as well. Anybody who thinks that's okay, you do not know your Bible. Let me say that again. You do not know your Bible. Yeah. When Jesus is living, he's living under an occupied Israeli Empire, if you're the Roman Empire had taken over. When Paul's writing, he writes to people all over the Roman Empire, and the Roman Empire was not a good government. They were evil. You know, we talk about Pax Romana, Roman peace, and it was peace with a sword. And yet Paul says, pray for the authorities, pray for those who rule over you, not because you agree with them, not because you voted for them, but because God is never a God of anarchy and a God of disorder. And that we should, if we say we'll obey the authorities when we like them or they, you know, we approve of what they do, that's a dangerous place to be. And we've stepped outside of the Bible. So I would say anybody who's, you know, breaking the law in that way, I hope the cameras caught them and that they will, you know, face the full weight of the law. In that sense, that is not civil disobedience. You know, as a pastor, I've had good discussions, and maybe they're not over yet, about is there a place I would break the law to keep my church open if the authorities told me to close it? And that, you know, there's a, that's an individual choice, and sometimes to work through the issues of when is it reasonable that the, let's say the governor says, hey, this is really dangerous, there's a hurricane blowing through, there's a tornado, there's a virus, a pandemic, when is that a legitimate choice to do? When do you submit yourselves to civil authorities? And when, because you choose to preach the gospel, when you should be willing to go to jail and willing to commit civil disobedience because you want to break bread and worship the living God. That has nothing to do with breaking into a government, you know, building and trying to smash things. You know, those of us who watched the protest in Portland, where again, Antifa were just trying to smash their way and burn down government buildings. I hope all Christians would condemn that. And in the same way, I would condemn a lot of what we saw on TV yesterday. While I respect the peaceful protesters and, you know, all the righteous things going on there. So I hope that's clear with that piece. You know, again, in terms of prophecies, I want to just laugh at some of this stuff. But I would say this to anybody, though. I mean, number one, if you feel you've heard from God, or you feel somebody you know and trust in the prophetic has told you that the elections will go a certain way, I would say, great, hold on to your prophecy until Inauguration Day. But I would say this to anybody, there has to be a time at which you would be willing to say, hey, maybe this word was wrong. And that's not blasphemy to say that, and we're not stoning your favorite prophet when you say that. And you know, it's not, so if you believe you've heard from God, great, hold on to that word, absolutely. But there is a point at which you'd have to let go. And I don't know, I have not heard from God from that. Number one, I've not heard from God from that. And number two, the people, I don't have a relationship with some of these people who are prophesying, let's say, that Trump will serve a second term. And number three, I've actually personally not been very impressed with lots of previous prophecies. I'll just give you an example, but when I saw people in 2020 prophesying that COVID would go away on Passover, I won't mention names, but you know, most of the big names in America kind of thing, I don't put a lot of weight on what they say the next time around. But I think if you believe you've heard from God, great. Or if you know those people, great, hold on to those words. It's people, you know, after the elections, people kept saying it's not over till the fat lady sings. Well, you have another 13 days and pray. I mean, continue to pray and believe. But don't be, what I would say to those who are passionate about those prophecies is don't be rude and bigoted to people who don't agree, or to people probably like me who are in the kind of Gamalian thing that says, if this is God, it will happen. And if it's not God, it won't happen. But let's just get on with what God's called us to do. And amen, let's pray for the nation. So as long as we're not being rude or bigoted in the way we do that, amen, I am all good with that. I think at a wider level, it would be good for people to grow and learn more about prophecy. You know, I would say this, we're in this kind of Justin Bieber place with prophecy where people get famous in a way I think God never intended in the body of Christ. And I think all ministries, God doesn't actually want the church to follow one really amazing teacher or, you know, a very small group of prophets. That's why the local church is so important. And frankly, I'm not interested in getting a word from anybody that I don't have a relationship with. You see, if you come to my church and I give you a prophecy, you've got a relationship with me. You can talk to me about that. And if it's wrong, you guess what? You're going to knock on my office door and we can commune and we can talk about that. But all of the gifts of the Spirit, all of the ministries of the Spirit are meant to flow out of relationship. So if God has called me, let's say, to be your pastor or to be, have an apostolic role over a church you're involved in, that's great. That's a relational paradigm. But I can't simply march into somebody else's church and say, hey, God's called me, so I'm going to start giving orders here. And in the same way, I think it would really help us if we looked at the prophetic much more in terms of it's got to come out of relationship. It's got to be birthed out of a local, accountable body of people. I would really encourage any of you to read a book Graham Cook wrote in the 1980s about growing in the prophetic. There are many people who like Graham Cook. If they actually read this book, they probably wouldn't like him as much. Where a lot of what he says in it is, you know, anybody prophesying, he says the first question he asks any prophet is, where is your local church? How often do you attend your local church? He says, you know, if I get a word that isn't true, what's your accountability structure? Who do I contact if that word is incorrect? Well, how do we process and deal with that? So some of the problem is when people reject the church and even kind of denominations or, you know, any kind of sense of accountability or covering, and they're just these floating people, that causes problems. So prophecy, if you believe you've heard from God, great, hold on to it. I am not mocking you. I honestly do not know. I have no word to give you on that. Other than if, I just simply would make that point. If a time comes when those words don't come to pass, you need to accept that. And the person who gave them should probably have the integrity to reevaluate and think, hey, how did I miss it here? And maybe I'm going to back off from prophecy for a while I recalibrate and learn not how to get into that same situation again. Let me say this as the last thing as well. What do we do in the body of Christ? I think the real danger with a lot of this stuff, all about the elections and prophecy and that, is we stop doing what God's called us to do, especially in the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of a season where people are suffering. God never promised he'd tell us who was going to win an election, and he never promised that our favorite candidate would be in. And I've got strong feelings about that, and maybe you have, maybe you don't. Pray, vote, protest peacefully, but get on with life. And it is not I'd really encourage people. It's amazing how many people spend hundreds of hours on social media or watching political things and very little time reading the Bible. Because if you read the Bible, you'll know the early church, most of them were slaves. Probably 80% of them were slaves. They were living, even if they weren't slaves, under a despotic empire. And when Paul writes to a slave who's escaped, and Paul, do you know what Paul tells the slave who's escaped? He says, go back and be submitted to your master. Now you say, Graham, are you promoting slavery? No, of course not. It was Christianity that actually destroyed the power of slavery. William Wilberforce, you know, Martin Luther King, people like that. But my point is, Paul's message, the Jesus's message, wasn't that you will create this perfect society, the kingdom of heaven on earth, with violence and with the sword. Rather, we do that with the proclamation of the kingdom. We do that actually by sacrifice. We do that by laying down our lives. Come on, I'll finish with this, but I have a pastor friend in a town called Suceava in Romania, and you know, years ago, the Soviet Union arrested him. Excuse me, this is probably back in the 70s for preaching the gospel. And basically, they threatened him and said, if you don't stop preaching the gospel, we will kill you. You know, we are the almighty state. We will kill you. And my friend laughed, and he just laughed and laughed and laughed at the KGB or whatever. And in the end, they said, why are you laughing? And he said, that's the only part. He said, your greatest weapon against me, your greatest power is to kill me. Jesus said, don't fear, he who has the power to kill. But then my friend laughed and said, my greatest weapon against you is to die. My greatest weapon is to lay down my life. I feel like I want to misquote Ben Kenobi here, but it's really a biblical principle. You know, if you strike me down, I'll become more powerful than you can possibly imagine. Our power. Jesus says, love your wives as Christ loved the church and laid down his life for them. And we have influence to the measure we will sacrifice. And our power is that of love. Our power is that of laying down our lives. Jesus said, my kingdom is not a kingdom of the sword. Now, it's not wrong to have a sword, if you will, or a baseball bat or a gun to defend your home. But we don't bring in the kingdom of God with violence. We bring it in with love, with sacrifice, with the gospel, with acts of power and signs and wonders and miracles. So what's the important? The important thing is we don't get dragged into all of this stuff, that we don't, you know, we pray, we love, we just carry on being the church, be salt and light, preach Jesus, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely you've received, freely give. Boom. That's my thought for the day. Have a great day, guys. Love you. And speak to you soon. Bye for now.